You're listening to Live from Lord North Street, a podcast from the Institute of Economic Affairs. I'm Madeline Grant, Editorial Manager at the IEA. Today we're joined by Lieutenant Governor Todd Lamb of the state of Oklahoma, Steve Baker MP, and Shankar Singham, Director of the IEA's trade unit. They discuss the possibilities of a future trade deal with the US, something for which there is strong political will on both sides of the Atlantic, although a number of sticking points remain. They also examine the global possibilities of trading freely after Brexit. Governor, could you please tell our listeners a little bit about you, your background, and the work that you've been doing in Oklahoma?
Well, sure. It's an honor to be with you and to share some thoughts and have this conversation with the IEA. My name is Todd Lamb. I'm the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Oklahoma, one of the 50 states, of course, across the pond. And I've been interested in some time in what's been occurring in the UK, particularly more specifically with Brexit. Maybe 2.5 years ago, I started a foundation called the E Foundation for Oklahoma to focus on policy issues such as education, economics, energy policy, which is very important to my home state of Oklahoma. But another E that we focus on is exporting. Well, you can export worldwide, but the interest I have and why I'm in the UK presently is because there's no greater opportunity that Oklahoma has in the entire world than what is about to happen with the UK via Brexit.
And so what have you been up to while you've been across the pond here in London?
Catching up on a little jet lag. I've been up to that. I've had meetings, several meetings with members of parliament, and luncheons, late night dinners, meetings throughout the day. And some have asked me, well, why are you here? And I tell them, well, I'm here because of Brexit. And one MP said, okay, well, that's the company line. That's the public statement. But why are you really here? Like, there must be something else. And I looked him right in the eyes and I said, I'm here for one sole reason. If Brexit was not pending, if this final decree was not going to come to fruition in March, I would not be here. So to answer your question, I've had several meetings. I'm with Steve here today and with Shankar. Steve and I had a couple of good conversations already. And the message I'm trying to leave with officials and members of parliament like Steve is that Oklahoma is anxious and ready for Brexit to occur. And we want to start even additional trade, more robust trade with the UK. I mean, the time is right, the time is perfect for the UK to open its doors to the US and to all 50 states to make good bilateral trade agreements that is mutually beneficial on both sides of the Atlantic.
So Todd, the UK seems to be suffering this enormous lack of self-confidence right now. We're completely consumed with the relationship with the EU. Can you tell us something about how the USA as a whole perceives the UK?
Well, my initial reaction, Steve, is a little bit of shock. What the UK has provided the world throughout your history. So to answer your question more directly, more specifically, the US perception and thought of the UK presently is that we're watching with keen interest. And economically, the US is very anxious. I mean, there's no stronger allies, no stronger relationship in the world than the UK and the United States. And now for us to further strengthen that relationship economically through free trade, it's very significant. So we're kind of watching with bated breath, hoping that there are no more hiccups or bumps in the road of Brexit. Be good for both countries.
So I get the sense there's a tremendous impatience that the Trump presidency would like to have negotiated bilateral trade, you know, started to open those bilateral trade negotiations already, and that there's actually just a fierce impatience
I was trying to be polite I said watching with bated breath.
Right.
We're very impatient.
You're very impatient.
Very, very impatient. What's taking so long? Because, again, I'm specific and subjective to my home state of Oklahoma, but there's so much opportunity. You know, there are free trade zones throughout the United States. We have one in Oklahoma. And I've said it already, I'll say it many times in this podcast, and there are just so many opportunities that will be beneficial to not just both governments, but to citizens in both countries. And that's why anybody should be in public service. How do we best benefit? How can we best impact policy or impact policy that best benefits our citizens.
So something that Shankar has said to me so often is about not being able to do trade deals unless we can actually control our regulatory system as well as our tariffs. Right. Is this right? Do you think it's the case that the UK wouldn't be able to do a bilateral trade deal of some meaning if we were in a position where we couldn't control our domestic regulation? Or is it just a matter of time?
Well, sir, how do you engage in economic freedom, economic policy, when you can't control your own destiny and you can't control your own regulation? Folks have fought wars over this.
Yeah.
There have been civil wars over this. And not just in our country specifically, but throughout the history of civilization, individuals want the freedom and the right to control their own destiny. And as that democracy, that individual freedom flourishes into governmental entities, again, this is throughout civilization. Now groups of people, entities, communities, states, villages, countries, they want to control their own destiny. So you don't need my advice. You're an official in the UK, but why would anybody want to be shackled or hindered by having somebody else control their destiny, specifically through some sort of economic regulation? It makes no sense.
So I completely agree with you, and I'm so happy that you're here because you remind me that I am not the crazy one on this question.
You're not the crazy one at all. You're a breath of fresh air to me with the conviction and the focus you have to march forward.
It sounds as though, you know, there is a great deal of political appetite in America for a trade deal, and UK politicians may be slightly dragging their feet. What, from a kind of regulatory perspective, do you think US lawmakers and future negotiators would want to see from our Brexit outcome?
Well, I think one thing in particular that this administration in America has shown, the Trump administration, is that America is open for business. America wants to push away undue burden, unnecessary regulation within our borders from coast to coast, but also internationally. President Trump, I'm not here on envoy from the president, so I'm not trying to speak for him. He can speak on his own, and he can tweet on his own, as a matter of fact. But that being said, he's shown and proven the conviction he has as a businessman that has now thrust and been duly elected to the Oval Office. He is committed to free international trade. And I think that's what our country is waiting for, as Steve said moments ago, impatiently, for Brexit to be finalized and for it to occur and to self-regulate and to make decisions.
Yes. Well, I wanted to bring in Shankar now, because obviously you spent a large part of your career in America. And it sounds rather as though there is a bit of a disconnect between the way that we as British people and British lawmakers tend to view our system and the way that our country is viewed around the world.
Yeah, I think there's two issues here. One is how we see ourselves, and I think every time we have a visitor or a leading politician from another country, they tell us this all the time, that we don't see you the way you see yourselves. We see the fifth biggest economy in the world, second biggest exporter of services, a real player in the global trading system. You seem to see yourselves as, you know, lacking in confidence, unable to do anything. So I think there's that disconnect. And then there's another disconnect, which refers to the earlier discussion, actually, about regulatory autonomy, which is the assumption in the UK that the European regulatory system is the gold standard. I mean, I think this language was, in fact, used in the government white paper. Whereas from the perspective of the rest of the world, and when I was a cleared trade advisor for the US government, we spent the bulk of our time complaining about European regulation. The European regulatory system is the global outlier. It's not the gold standard. It's not even the norm. It's the outlier. So if you're tying yourself to one particular regulatory system, the EU regulatory system is perhaps the worst one to tie yourself to from the perspective of doing deals with other people, particularly the US, because that's what they're particularly concerned about is, are you going to be able to diverge from a regulatory system that we, the US, have complained about for years and years?
When it comes to listening to the views of ordinary people, do you think that ordinary Americans share this enthusiasm for the opportunities of Brexit? Or is it kind of the Trump administration itself?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think it's a very fair question. And I think that depends maybe on the week, the day or the month, on what the headline is in the most local newspaper for those citizens that may be reading the paper over a cup of coffee in the morning. My point is this. Here in the UK, you are living, breathing Brexit every second of every day when the sun is up and the sun is set. Across the Atlantic in the States, that's not quite the case. Now, I'm engaged and I try to find out what the most recent real-time news is about Brexit on a regular basis. But I can't say all citizens are doing that. But if you ask the citizens of the United States, do you want either your company, the company you own or the company you work for, or do you want the company that has the biggest economic impact in your small town, do you want them to have the freedom and the capability to enter into trade agreements with our strongest ally in the history of the world? The answer is yes.
Yeah, and I think that that's a very important point. And it's particularly in the US farming industry, there are huge opportunities for a trade deal with the UK. But is there a sense, I wonder, that the model that we are currently examining, that we currently seem to be proposing, is not going to be compatible with that kind of a trade deal?
The Chequers proposal goes nowhere fast, particularly when it comes to self-governance, self-regulation, and economic freedom and liberty.
And I think, you know, the heart of the proposal, the heart of the Chequers plan is harmonisation to the EU rulebook for goods and agri-food. If you are a major agricultural exporter like the US, like the state of Oklahoma, then you are going to want agricultural access to the UK, and you are going to want to have innovation enhancing regulation. You're going to want to have all these good things. And the Chequers proposal ties us to the European rulebook, which, as I've said before, is moving in exactly the opposite direction. So this is why when I was in the US recently with folks from USTR, they basically said it looked to us, we desperately want to do a deal with you. And we looked very hard at the government white paper in an effort to find some way that we could continue to do a deal with you. And we found that systematically every door had been closed, almost as if it was being closed on purpose. And we were also somewhat concerned that the language was very reminiscent of the European proposals in the TTIP, which suggested a certain, you know, authorship of some of the white paper. And they were, as you said before, Maddie, the support in the US for a UK-US FTA is beyond anything that you would find really for any policy proposal. You know, there are congressional caucuses on it. There is a Senate caucus on it. The American people want it. It is the most likely bilateral agreement the US can do. So there's this massive support in the US for it. And there's confusion as to why, you know, essentially the door is being closed on them.
Yeah. So, I mean, the US is our single biggest trading partner away from the EU bloc. It's one of the biggest prizes, potentially, of Brexit. I'd like to hear, actually, from all three of you, what kind of Brexit outcome we would need in order to reap those benefits and claim the Brexit prize.
The Brexit I want is the Plan A plus Brexit. It's the Brexit I've wanted since we voted to leave.
Yeah. And Todd, what do you make of it?
The UK cannot strike a trade deal with anybody that is beneficial to the UK unless there is self-regulation, self-governance, and discussing what is best for the citizens of the UK. And I think those discussions are all part of the A-plus proposal that Steve just mentioned moments ago. So I think that's so important because once Brexit is finalized, then the door is open.
Yeah.
And again, you've got a federal government relationship to federal government relationship, UK to the US. But then there are 50 states in the US that will be pining. Hopefully they'll all fall in line after the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
We'll be the first in the door economically. But as Lieutenant Governor, I cannot wait for the future, the immediate future, to see how we can build on these strong economic ties that already exist, but we're waiting for the hamstrings to be removed so we can do even more.
I think one of the things we also need to remind ourselves about is, and from your perspective, Todd, why does the US want to have a trade deal with the UK? I think we realise and we understand why it's good for the UK to have a trade deal with the US. But why does the US need a trade deal with the UK?
Well, one, as we've talked about in this podcast already, there's familiarity. Part of that familiarity, there are relationships, there are relations. You know, I mean, they're not two distant cousins across the Atlantic. But the historic partnership we've had for years, the strongest allies for one another. But Oklahoma specifically, Oklahoma is on the cusp of a real renaissance. within the borders of the U.S. And Oklahoma is just north of the eighth richest economy in the world. The U.K.'s fifth, the eighth richest economy in the world is the state of Texas. Well, you know, you can go to the state of Texas and kind of get lost in the shuffle. And did somebody show up and open up a company? Yeah, we take all them for granted. In Oklahoma, whatever businesses are in the U.K. that export commodities or get a footprint in Oklahoma, that makes news, and that's really significant. So Oklahoma, I can answer, Shaker, very specifically. Oklahoma wants to send its exports and commodities to the U.K. to open up those trade opportunities that Oklahoma's been long been missing. Likewise, Oklahoma wants to open up those doors to the U.K. to import the commodities from the U.K. and strengthen our relationship.
The reason why the Americans and the Japanese and all of these other countries have so much goodwill towards the U.K. is not that they have particular, you know, warm feelings towards the British people. It's that they see an ally. They see a potential ally on the global trading stage that thinks like them, that believes in open markets, that believes in free trade, that believes in competition on the merits as an organizing economic principle, and believes in all of these things. And that if that major G7 economy is able to be self-governed and is able to have its own regulatory system, that regulatory system that we choose will be more like their approach. And that will be a very important ally for them on the global stage. It will transform the global regulatory system, which is also on a negative and sort of deteriorating path. And if that happens, then you're talking about billions of people being lifted out of poverty around the world. And you're talking about, it's not just about the UK, it's not just about the US, it's about the entire world's regulatory system, which will improve as a result. That's why I think there's so much excitement out there from these other countries about what our role may be. This is a huge event, not because the UK is leaving the EU or what we might change ourselves about ourselves. It's a huge global event because you've never before had a major G7 economy adopting independent trade policy for the first time in 40 plus years. And you'll never have it again. And that's why there's such an important window of opportunity to get this right.
You know, when you look at British politics today, things are evidently difficult. But I think if more people understood the attitude which Shanker's just displayed, but particularly understood the attitude which Todd has set out to us, the way the USA feels about the UK, the way the rest of the world feels about the UK, and this idea that we can flourish as we become free of the EU, and yet still be great friends and neighbours and trading partners with the EU. If people can get that into their heads, then we can start being optimistic about Brexit as a country, and then, my goodness, we'll spread our wings and fly.
Maddie, I'll just say it's an honour again to be with the IEA today and to be with Steve, my new friend, and Shanker. We've had a great couple days of meetings, and I'll just synopsize what I said during this podcast. We are waiting with bated breath for Brexit to be finalized and for the Plan A Plus to be implemented, if that's the final decision by Parliament. But we're very excited in the States to open up free trade and to do what is best for the citizens on both sides of the Atlantic.
If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe to our podcast channel, IEA Conversations.